This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to today's Q&A with Layla. This is Intelligent Medicine. It's our weekly opportunity to answer your questions. Send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. We'll endeavor to answer them. And we just got a great question that we read in part one, but please reread the question because it's from one of our special listeners.
Mm-hmm. Hi, my name is John, and I'm 8 years old. I hear all your podcasts because my dad listens to them, and I get to listen too. I have a question. Why is sugar so addictive? As soon as I eat a piece of candy, I want another one. My dad hates it when I eat candy. He doesn't let me eat much. Thank you. My daddy helped me write this.
Okay, that is a great question.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to put it in terms that even an astute 8-year-old can understand is, okay, and this is actually explained to me beautifully by one of our guests recently.
Mm-hmm.
We did a podcast with Dr. David Ludwig of Harvard University. He's an endocrinologist, and he is working with a program there to combat childhood obesity,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great way, you know, that's the way to nip it in the bud. And his program is based on a low glycemic index, low carb diet. And so he's done a lot of research. He's a researcher as well. And they have now the ability to see what happens in the brain mm-hmm. when you eat certain foods. Your brain has many different parts, and different parts light up with certain markers that can be seen mm-hmm. during a brain scan. So, for example, if you see something visually exciting, the visual part of your brain will light up.
Uh-huh.
You know, you see a pretty girl, or you know, you see, you know, a beautiful painting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually see that part of the brain light up. Or if you go to a concert and you're listening to, you know, beautiful music,
mm-hmm.
you're listening to a wonderful Bach concerto, a certain part of your brain will light up. They've done studies that look at the effects of eating sugar. They give the experimental volunteers sugar,
mm-hmm.
and then they do a brain scan. And there's a part of the brain that lights up dramatically in everybody who eats sugar, no matter whether they are big sugar cravers or not. It lights up. It's called, now a little technical here, it's the nucleus accumbens. It's a very tiny place in the brain. It is the same part of the brain that lights up when you do heroin, cocaine. We're not recommending that our 8-year-olds explore these avenues, but you know how bad drugs are for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, addictive drugs.
Yeah.
So it goes exactly to the sweet spot of the brain and lights it up. And it creates a pattern of craving. It actually makes, it reinforces that part of the brain.
More.
And you want more and more and more stimulation.
Right.
Now, the good news is that the less you have, the less you want. But the more you have, the more you want. Plus, and you can explain this, Layla, there's a blood sugar dimension to this, too. You can explain what happens on blood sugar.
What happens, John, when you're eating the candy is you're getting a rush, a burst of energy, your blood sugar is going up. But then sometime later, it will cause it to come down and crash. And that's when we start to crave and look for more sugar.
Right.
It's the same thing that's going on. And why is sugar so addictive? We already know that cocaine is probably the most addictive drug on the planet. But guess what? It's not cocaine, it's sugar. It's actually the most addictive substance on the planet. And that's why when you have a piece of candy, you want another one. So what's the answer to that? You want to stop eating the candy. Or just save it for special occasions, or when you're at a birthday party. He's 8 years old, after all, or something like that. And that's really what we're talking
about.
Another
way to explain it is, I don't know if you watch a lot of TV, but there's a lot of commercials for, I think it's a cable company, and it's a family called the Settlers. And the Settlers are like this, it's almost like some kind of Quaker or Mennonite family, and they live very austerely, like in, and they don't have much in the way of pleasure or, you know, luxuries. It's kind of a funny commercial. But it sort of illustrates the way life was like in the frontier, you know, like in the 1800s. And John, who's 8 years old, did not have an allowance of, you know, $20 a week. John may have gotten, in 1900, may have gotten a penny or a nickel so that he could go to the candy store, which was a big deal. And get some candy, because, okay, kids like candy, and they get candy, but it was like a big deal. It wasn't like, wow, we got the value pack of, you know, of Mars bars,
right,
you know, at the discount supermarket. It wasn't as common. You know, fancy word, you can look it up, ubiquitous. It means everywhere we are bombarded with sugar, and virtually all the products that, you know, are processed, is there's added sugar.
Right.
And it's designed to get us hooked and seduce us.
And, you know, John should know, because he's probably watching, I'm imagining, if an 8-year-old boy up on Saturday morning watching cartoons, there's a lot of commercials there for breakfast cereals, for candies. It's all the food companies. They want you to buy their product. And, of course, they're all sweet. And that's to keep you coming back for more.
Right.
Because they know that sugar is addictive.
What's even worse than solid candy, you know, candy bars, is drinking liquid sugar. Because that hits you real fast, and you can put a lot of sugar in your body.
Right.
And because you're thirsty, it satisfies your thirst, and it also hits your sweet spot in your brain.
But it doesn't fill you, so you could just keep going with that to some degree.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't want to... Here's the thing. We don't want to give an 8-year-old a complex about, you know, eating, you know, so righteously and avoiding every dietary pitfall, because it's not a good headspace for an 8-year-old to be in. But to have some awareness that it's a little bit courting, you know, a kind of a bad addiction, which may create health problems for you later in life if you have a lot of sugar. And that sugar is nice. And you can enjoy it, and preferably the way you should get sugar is with some added nutrients, so that you get, you know, fresh fruit,
right?
Which is, you know, sugary and tasty, or maybe like you know, it's like a 85% or 70% dark chocolate, which has health benefits in addition to, you know, giving you a sweet, delicious taste, and you know, or you know, using some sugary sprinkles on a healthy fruit dish or something like
that, or
in healthy yogurt
or getting some of those 100% fruit juice ice pops. That
there
could be good. Cascadian Farm makes some organic 100% fruit juice ice pops, which could be much better, in my opinion, than some candy.
There is this notion of what are called empty calories, which is that you just get the sugar and a lot of chemicals and no additional benefit.
Right.
And that's doubly bad, because you're getting the bad of the sugar without the additional benefit of the nutrients. You know, sugar is in fruit to entice humans to like fruit.
Yes.
And there's a reason for that, because fruit is really healthy, and it has vitamin C, and it has all these other nutrients. Mm-hmm. And we're attracted to it. Mm-hmm. We have a powerful drive to eat fruit. And, you know, primitive humans used to travel, you know, miles to find ripe berries.
Right.
They'd do a lot of work. And that's to the good, because they contain healthy nutrients.
That's true. And Mother Nature gave us, you know, taste buds for sweet things so that our Stone Age ancestors would fatten up for the upcoming famine.
Right.
When the fruit was available, they ate it, and they ate some more so they could survive the next famine. So that it was a survival mechanism as well.
What's an 8-year-old in, like second grade or third grade, something like that?
8-year-old, third grade.
Okay, so we are making ourselves available to come to the third grade class, or we can have an assembly at the elementary school. We will tag team a presentation.
Yes.
Where's this person located?
We don't know.
Maybe in Maui. That would be fun.
That would be fun. We'll go there. John, thank you so much for your email, and thanks to your dad for helping you write this.
And thanks for listening.
Yes. Okay. We've got a question from Steve. Steve writes, you and Dr. Hoffman have been so vehement about gamma vitamin E and mixed tocopherols, mm-hmm. yet here's a response from Thorne, a nutraceutical right. company which you think of very highly, so I am confused. Actually, this question is, it says from Steve, but it's also from Donna, that Thorne is actually basing their vitamin E supplement on D-alpha tocopherol right. because that's what's been shown in the research right. to be the most bioavailable. However, and Donna, you also include this in your email. This is what they write. Therefore, until science marches forward a few more steps and demonstrates a definitive need for supplementation with additional tocopherols, Thorne Research will provide the most physiologically meaningful form of vitamin E in its multivitamins. In the meantime, however, Steve from Thorne says, in the meantime, we do offer a mixed tocopherol formulation. Right.
So they're hedging their bets.
They're hedging their bets, exactly, yeah, right. exactly.
Well, let me just say that they're very sincere.
Yes.
And they're not...
They're a wonderful company.
They're not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. On the other hand, when you make a tableted multivitamin or an antioxidant mix, say it's vitamin E and C and zinc and selenium and other stuff together, mm-hmm. it's much easier to make it with D-alpha tocopherol.
Right.
It's easier to tablet to make it, and it's cheaper too.
Yeah.
So now that's not, so they're not offering a bad product mm-hmm. or necessarily an inferior product. There is evidence from some studies that that is beneficial. However, there are many studies that now have got conventional doctors advising patients to avoid vitamin E because with studies looking at D-alpha tocopherol, there are either no benefits or maybe there's some adverse effects.
Yeah.
And so the problem there is that when you're using just one fraction of the four, there are actually four vitamin E's and four tocopherols. There's alpha, there's alpha, gamma, and beta, I think. Mm-hmm. And delta.
Yes.
And so there's research on gamma that suggests, for example, here's mm-hmm. an example. Mm-hmm. They did a study on vitamin E and selenium for prostate cancer. And they found that, lo and behold, it didn't help. It didn't help prostate cancer, prevent it, or,
Right.
So they said vitamin E is not good. But there are studies looking at gamma tocopherol,
mm-hmm.
and gamma tocopherol does seem to have a preventive effect on prostate cancer. Now, it may be that, as he says, the science advances will say alpha tocopherol good for some things, gamma tocopherol good for other things.
Yeah.
It's sometimes a complicated story, and there's not enough research.
I wonder if this can be compared to, say, if this is an analogy at all, in the presence of oxygen and carbon monoxide, the body prefers carbon monoxide, even though it's harmful. Or in food, vitamin E is not going to just present as D-alpha tocopherol.
Thing.
It's going to have the whole mix.
Right.
Your vitamin E sources being many foods, but especially nuts, seeds, fats.
It is, for example, when we get foods that are high in vitamin E, what are some foods that are high in vitamin E? Avocados, for example, mm-hmm. nuts are high in vitamin E.
Mm-hmm.
It's present in 8 isoforms.
Yeah.
All the tocotrienols, 4 of them, and 4 forms of vitamin E, or 4 forms of tocopherol. So mm-hmm. if we want a more natural approach to that, then we will go with the mixed tocopherols. And
yeah.
I had to make this decision myself. In our multivitamin,
yeah.
I have a mixture of, there's some alpha tocopherol, but there's also a lot of gamma tocopherol. And so we actually have our labels mm-hmm. as mixed tocopherols. So we give them the full spectrum. And it was tough, and it was expensive to
I
do
know,
it.
I know, I remember.
It was like, do you really want to do this? Because it's going to raise the price to you. And I said, well, I'll take a little less profit, and I don't want to pass the high expense to the patients. I don't want them to pay like $60 for a bottle of multivitamins. That's a dilemma that manufacturers face sometimes, is they'll say, okay, here you go. You got all the premium ingredients, the very best of everything.
Yeah.
Here's your multivitamin. That'll be $95.
yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to buy that multi.
Right, right. Tough decision, yeah. So, Donna, it's both are available from Thorn, as you're seeing here.
Right.
Directly from Steve, the medical consultant at Thorn Research. So thank you for your question, for your email. Okay. I've got an email from Anonymous. I'm not a great...
Not the hacker Anonymous.
Not the hacker Anonymous.
No, because get rid of it. Don't click on it.
No.
You destroyed our server. That was you.
Right.
If you see anything from Anonymous, don't.
Exactly. No, I don't. Okay. I don't. Anonymous writes, I'm not a great sleeper, so I listen to your show at night with headphones on until I fall asleep.
By the way, this is one of the biggest things. When I did a radio show, I used to do a radio show at first. Yeah. It was like on at 10 o'clock, then it was on 11, then it was on at midnight,
and then
they took it off because the radio station changed hands. People were dismayed because I was part of their sleep routine.
That's
like,
right.
What I said was of no consequence at all, but it was like that voice droning on pleasantly at night, you know, and they say,
right.
Oh my goodness, like... Anyway, so now you can listen to the podcast.
Right, now you can listen to the podcast. Well, this person writes, my iPhone is on my nightstand, and I've read about how some say that the phone should be charged in another room and not near my head. I do that. The phone is definitely in another room. Mm-hmm. None of these things are in the bedroom.
Right.
Am I going to get a brain tumor because I listen with headphones and my phone is on my nightstand? And after I fall asleep after the first hour, I inevitably wake up again at 4 or 5 a.m. and put the podcast on again. This person can't get enough of you.
That's great. That's
yeah.
great. So literally, I sleep with so many people every night.
Yes.
You know, just on a nightly basis. Okay. Well, you know, this is into the issue of EMFs, electromagnetic fields. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot that's written on that and the potential harmful effects. You know, one precaution that's pretty good precaution is probably to turn off your Wi-Fi at night.
We do. We shut it all
and
down.
Very few people do, and I got to say, I don't. And, you know,
we forget.
Who knows what that's doing to people? Because, you know, it's amazing. You plug in your phone, you know, turn on your phone, and it's picking up all this stuff.
Yeah.
You get, you know, all this information that's in the form of electromagnetic waves that are being broadcast through your house and possibly through your body.
Right.
So maybe the best way to do it is to, you know, have like a long headphone cord. Keep the phone as far away from you as possible. By the way, when your phone is receiving or transmitting Wi-Fi, like say you're listening to the podcast directly off our server, you know, then you're getting a transmission. And that transmission may be going through your body. But if the phone is simply already recorded it, you've downloaded it, it's all inside the phone.
Yes.
And it's not giving off that much electromagnetic radiation. I don't know if you understand the physics or the engineering around that. But then, let's say you use wireless headphones. Then the phone is transmitting a Wi-Fi signal to your to a device that's embedded in your ear.
Yeah.
That may not be so good. That's one of the reasons I don't use wireless headphones.
Right.
I use the old-fashioned wire phones.
Yes.
Which is more cumbersome when I run because there's this cord dangling. But I don't like the idea that it's transmitting directly into my ear.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say also earphones do not create that much electromagnetic radiation. They create a little bit because it's an electromagnetic field around any kind of speaker, a little bit. But it's probably not that bad. And plus you're getting good health information and you're sleeping better.
I wonder if there's more prevalence of glioma. I think that was a question with the, you know, with the advent of cell phones and
so forth. They've done big studies, and the criticism of the studies is that they're generally undertaken by the telecommunications industry, which, by the way, is probably now the biggest industry worldwide. You know, it's not, it's no longer steel or mining. Maybe the petroleum industry is a bigger industry, but telecommunications is a huge, huge industry. And they have a vested interest in telling you it's no problem. Move along, folks. Nothing to see here.
Right.
On the other hand, there have been some studies that suggest that even by virtue of heat effects, if you spend a lot of time, you know, with your phone next to your head, it could create some tissue damage and potentially trigger problems.
Wow.
So, you know, it's not really scientific to say that it's conclusively been proven that phones cause cancer or cause brain cancer.
Yeah.
And some people will say that, and they'll do dramatic slides. And they'll sort of, this person had a brain cancer on the left side, and that's where they held their phone. See, okay, ergo, phones cause cancer. Well, I believe that people died of brain cancer before there were cell phones.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Is the prevalence going up dramatically?
Yeah.
We don't, maybe not, but who knows, maybe 20 years from now, I mean, kids are constantly holding phones to their ears.
That's true. That's true. Which country is it? I think it's Denmark, where it's outlawed for those younger than 18
okay.
to carry cell phones. That might have changed since I read about it, but
that
I
sounds,
just thought that was interesting.
That sounds hard to enforce.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't see that being right. enforced around here.
Right. Anyway, we have time for one quick question.
Yeah, Anonymous has another small question which we could take. I take magnesium citrate at night and thought I was doing double duty, good for my heart and avoiding constipation. Oops, constipation. Is that not good enough? Or should I take a magnesium citrate and a magnesium taurate?
Well, we sometimes do that because when we know that magnesium citrate is not that well absorbed, but precisely for that reason, it runs through you and it has a laxative effect.
Right.
So we
good
actually, we test magnesium. We find that some people taking a lot of magnesium citrate have low magnesiums, paradoxically, because it's working as laxative. So we'll double up. We'll give them the magnesium taurate, which has a less laxative effect, but it gets more absorbed, or jigsaw magnesium.
Right.
Or a new form of magnesium is magnesium threonate, which is protosorbed magnesium, which is when we want magnesium for the brain for anxiety.
Wonderful. So, Anonymous, thank you for your questions.
Yeah, and stop hacking me. Stop hacking our website. Okay, because the person, it was a little suspicious because that person asked questions about electronic devices.
Yeah.
But it's probably not the same Anonymous,
no,
I don't think so.
Probably not. Okay.
Okay. Cause, and they didn't have like one of those masks like those, you know, like what was that movie, V for Victory mask?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, okay. They're not an anarchist commune of hackers.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's all the time that we have for today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. May you be free from hackers, and may you stay healthy. A reminder that products that we talk about here on this program are available via our Hoffman Center store. Just go to drhoffman.com, click on the store, and it will lead you to our Hoffman Center dispensary, where we share with you the many fine supplements that we offer to patients of the Hoffman Center. Of course, you're welcome to become a patient of the Hoffman Center. And if you're someone who is far away and you want a consultation, simply call the Hoffman Center and arrange for a consultation with Layla. She does phone consultations with people all over the country and all over the world. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is... By the way, thank you, Layla, for joining us.
Thank you, everybody.
And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.